This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I'm your host, Slim Trim, Michael Trim Jr., back in the fold. And today, we'll talk about the hiring of new athletic director Angela Suggs, recap the FAMU versus Troy game, and discuss if the Miami Hurricanes are a legit contender for the national championship as it stands today. We'll also discuss, can the Commanders win the NFC East, and more. But to help me with these topics, I have some great guys in the studio.
What's good? What's hood, man? It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. in the building.
What up, y'all, man? Y'all already know what it is. It's the host that do the most, your favorite country Nigerian. It's Fees from reporting live from the 225 Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What's up? It's your boy GT, the common three-peat, coming out the 912 Savannah, Georgia. Let's get it,
the C-Po.
Hi, guys. I'm Tristan. Let's do something normal for once.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Jay Scott, a.k.a. Coach Scott, coming at you live from the 813.
What's good? What's good? It's your boy, Ahmad Kibbe from the 813.
The legend himself.
Rip.
Good to be back.
All right, guys. So the first topic we'll talk about is discussing the new hire of athletic director A.D. Suggs. Now, our very own Jeffrey Hood Jr. caught the press conference and got a clip of A.D. Suggs talking about the future of FAMU Athletics, so we'll play that now.
My vision for FAMU Athletics is to win 14 championships. For us to create a stellar student-athlete experience, but also to create an experience for our coaches and our staff, that they are the ones that are going into homes and speaking with parents and telling families that we are going to take care of their young men and take care of their young women while they are here. We want everyone that comes in contact with Florida A&M Athletics to have that experience of where they want to come back.
What are y'all expectations for FAMU Athletics going forward and for AD Angela Suggs?
Man, bring back AD Sykes. I ain't trying to hear all that.
For me, I think AD Suggs is a good fit because she's an alumni here. She was born a Rattler. So she kind of knows what the ins and outs of this department. And also, she wants to bring back a lot of traditions. I think she's going to bring back a winning culture for all sports other than just football and volleyball that we've been lacking since I've been here, at least. So I'm glad that we hired somebody that's familiar in this area.
So is she going to address the Crary situation?
I mean, the thing is, Coach Crary came from St. Thomas, and she graduated her master's there at St. Thomas. So I think that connection alone, knowing Coach Crary's pedigree as far as winning comes, I think she'll respect it and fix his contract immediately.
For sure.
I was there at the press conference with both Jeff and G. What I liked most about her during the press conference is she made an emphasis on listening to all people across the board. So that includes the student body and all the student athletes, which I think is important when you have from AD, is that they're willing to listen and not just come in and want to implement their own things. Like you said, I believe that she's going to incorporate a winning culture across all sports. Her history with, raising money for amateur sports, I think is also going to help raise money across all sports, especially the ones that have been lacking, like the cross country team and the tennis team, and a lot of the teams that go underappreciated that still win championships here.
You can't say they go underappreciated when they're not bringing in any money to the school.
Well, they can if they don't have any support to begin with.
That is true.
Or exposure.
But you got to win. You have to win
and
something.
They have been winning.
What did they win?
The track team last semester won the
indoor swag championship.
And golf also won the championship too.
They won. Wait. Country, what championship they win?
They won, I believe, the national championship.
They did not win a national championship. They won the HBCU.
Yeah, the golf one.
It's a difference.
They won.
No, you got to start.
You only play who's in front of you. We can't play Texas, Alabama.
We have to. No, when we do play them teams, we don't come close to winning.
Yeah, but we can't compete. We can't compete for a national championship in their league.
We're not getting no money for that. There's no money coming into that.
Wait.
That's like you trying to compare apples.
Hold on, wait. Let G talk.
I feel like Tristan, I know you're a very critical person, but I feel like you're being very unfair right now. And when you look at them teams like Alabama, a team that you like, and you look at the school that you attend, FAMU, the resources ain't there.
Can't even educate itself.
What do they have
that we don't have?
They have the support from boosters, mm-hmm, and the support from the AD allowing them to raise money that goes, mm-hmm, towards not just the football, okay, team, but to other sports as well.
So all now, athletics.
Those, exactly.
That's why.
If we have an AD,
but not even
that.
But
that is why, fam, you have to play money games, bro.
But not even that, though. Even when you go to those big schools, they don't have the golf team. They're not talking about the golf team. Yes, they have support. They have funding, but they don't have this big lump sum of funds. Like that's not real. No, they don't. Country.
Yes, they do.
What would you go to country? If you go to LSU, what if most of the the money in their athletics go to?
Name the
three programs where most of their money come from.
It goes to football, okay. Basketball.
Okay, and what else?
In the tie between gymnastics and baseball. Yeah,
exactly.
Right now.
But the thing is, every school is different. If your school is winning,
country,
they're
you just
put
proved
more,
my point. I literally just said they're not putting money into golf like that. No, golf is winning though.
I
understand what country's saying.
That's the thing. Like, they put money into basketball, and basketball's not winning.
That's where they're gonna get most of the money back from. Ain't nobody going to no golf match, country.
Bro,
let's call it what it is. Ain't nobody going to no cost crunchy match. You're not getting money back from these events.
But you're changing what we're talking about. You're trying to discredit a championship because you're making it seem like, oh, just because
I'm not going to discredit the championship. They won a championship. Whatever. I'm talking about where are we getting the most money from?
We're getting the most money from football and basketball.
Okay.
That's correct.
And probably baseball and softball, right? Because we don't have a gymnastics team.
They don't charge for baseball and softball games, so.
Fellas, this is what I'll say. Going back to the actual question at hand, talking about the hiring of our new AD, got a little bit sidetracked there. I do feel like AD Sykes was a great AD, and so I think with this new athletic director, I think that she will bring in a different type of culture that we didn't see with AD Sykes, just because she's already been here, so she knows the pedigree of like what it takes to lead an athletic department. However, with that being said, AD Sykes didn't even get real time to really implement a lot of the things that she wanted to implement. She had a lot of great things, and we were on an upward trend in a lot of different things. Our basketball team, from a women's standpoint, was actually on an upward trend. Our football team was always going to be good, our football team, that is. And then our golf team was on an upward trend, along with volleyball and the other
track
sports.
Track and field
as well. So this is my thing. If you're going to hire a new AD, that's fine. But you have to ask yourself the question this. How is the clock? And what I mean by clock is, how long is the clock going to be? How long is the timer going to be? Because if you ask me, I feel like we still should have had AD Sykes as our AD, just because she still had a lot of things that she didn't even get to implement.
So, Kibi, I got a question for you. Because you just recently graduated from Florida Agricultural Mechanical University. You started here. What is the tradition that, because I just got here, you feel me? What is the tradition that I'm not seeing that y'all had before? Because before I got here, fam, you was not winning in football. They was getting ran through by Bethune, like, almost for the pack. Like, it was like a 9-year game winning streak that, fam, you had. I mean, that Bethune had on, fam, you. So what is the tradition that I'm missing? Because from my standpoint, fam, you just started winning recently.
So the tradition that I mean is just like how things are handled from a business standpoint of things. Not even really necessarily talking about the sport, because the AD don't play a sport. Like, the AD oversees all of the athletics. It's how you market each and every athletic department, whether that's football, basketball, cross-country, track, volleyball. It's how you market all of those teams to elevate the overall look on the athletic department. So what I mean by culture is, I mean by like, hey, like, we have a winning attitude. We have an attitude of like, hey, we're going to accomplish this, and that. We want to increase like ticket sales for different sporting events, because again, the only events that get charged money, to my knowledge, are football games and basketball games. So that's a problem if you're trying to get up there as far as like the other schools that play D1 sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by culture, not necessarily as far as like the actual playing out of the sports, because you can't control that. We can't control that. She can't control that. But it's about how you get those sports to a place where they can actually all make profit for the university. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So over the summer, like, I had the pleasure to meet AD Sykes in Washington, D.C. And I met Coach Curry and also Coach Cozy. I met Coach Cozy. I didn't meet Coach Curry. He didn't come. But from my point of view of what I saw from the alumni, they really wasn't fond of AD Sykes.
You know why? Because she, to a certain extent, and this is my last point, AD is supposed to come in and do two things. One, do everything that I just previously spoke on.
Yeah.
And two, they're supposed to have a backbone. You're not supposed to bend over backwards anytime an alum has a problem with something.
Yep.
I think that's what separates our alumni from a lot of different alumni. And all alumni do it. So let me put that disclaimer out there. All alumni want to have a say-so. Florida State does it too. But the difference is, they don't mind having somebody with a backbone that can say, no, I want to do this, because, again, that's what you bring in an AD for? Why waste all that time and go get her from wherever she was before and bring her here and have all these expectations, let her speak all the stuff she wants to do in a press conference? If at the end of the day, you're just going to whine and cry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what that comes down to.
Mm-hmm. I think also what you miss out on when the handling of Simmons, I think that left a sour taste in the alumni's mouth. They wanted to do everything they possibly could to keep him. I think everyone with a brain knows that Simmons was out. I think he wanted to leave the year before. I just think he didn't get the offer he wanted to.
He wanted a South Florida job, but that didn't.
I could have told you he wasn't getting that.
No. He had the South Florida job last year, but nobody knew why he didn't take it.
No. But to continue what I was saying, you have like proof of that though,
bro? They offered him and they offered Deion.
They offered Willie the head coaching job.
Can I speak?
Offensive coordinator.
Can I speak real quick?
Go ahead. You got the floor.
So going back to that, I ain't trying to say nobody wrong now, but I spoke with Simmons about it and we actually talked on the record about it, and he said he never heard from him.
Yeah.
Now I don't think he gonna lie about something like that on the record.
I can confirm that.
But you know, he told me he never heard from him.
We got all these insiders and
Okay, Woj.
But also too with AD Sykes, her taking away the Orange Blossom Classic game
that's where it started.
It really pissed a lot of people off because she really wanted to really focused on the MEAC and the swag. She wanted the swag and the MEAC to be playing all the time. But everybody, like a lot of the alumni, did not like that because, you know, a lot of our alumni base come straight from Miami. So them having to go to Miami to play the game, it meant a lot to them, especially when we just brought the Orange Blossom Classic back. You feel me? After what, 40 years? So it meant a lot to people to see that game, and then you take it away after 3 years because you felt as though you could make more money by playing in the MEAC.
Another home game?
Yeah.
I don't disagree with her though. When I read the articles, I forgot who wrote it. It might have been Gerald, but
or me.
Nah, it wasn't you.
Or me.
But I heard like part of the reason why she pulled us out of the Orange Blossom Classic because it was costing more and we weren't seeing
because we wasn't making no money.
Yeah, we weren't making the return.
The attendance breaks for that.
Yeah,
to travel down to Miami.
Yeah.
And on top of that, and then it's like you're not seeing a return on that, so it's like I kind of understand because you can have another homecoming make or go to Atlanta, which is what we did, and make way more money because we also have a big alumni base in Atlanta. So I understand why she did. I can see why the alumni would be mad about that, but at the same time, like, if you're an athletic director, you make tough decisions like that. That's a part of the job. You can't be mad at her for doing the job that she was asked to do, because I'm pretty sure if the new AD is put in that same position, she's gonna make the same decision. You know, that's just my input on that.
I appreciate you guys. So now on to the FAMU versus Troy game. You know, 2 weeks ago or about 3 weeks ago, Jeff said we'd give Miami a look, and I think this is the game that we gave
a look.
Yeah, he said
I said a look. I stand on it.
We gave Troy a look
at the coin toss.
Not real.
We gave Troy a look, and we fell 34-12 to Troy University. Now, fellas, after this game, this is probably the last, you know, quote unquote tough game, or like
non-conference
game, I could say. But what does the outlook for the rest of the season look like for FAMU, and what were your thoughts on the game?
It was very good.
I'll say my thoughts on the game. We got beat by one man.
Yeah, number 7,
Devontae Ross. We got beat by one man. He had 3 tuds.
I'm gonna be real.
3 tuddies.
I'm gonna be real. I was
record, right?
Yeah, it was like the longest pass play or something like that.
229 receiving yards.
But look here, man.
That's terrible.
But look here, man. I was at the game, and that game made me very upset.
Because we had a chance to win.
Because if I'm standing on, if they would have kicked that field goal in the second quarter and took that 9-7 lead, I'm not going to guarantee a win, but
it would have been a different outcome.
It would have been a different outcome. And I feel like after a while, after Troy started putting some touchdowns on the board, like the body language kind of changed and all of that. It was like, you could tell these guys ready to, you know, pack up and head back to Tallahassee. But it was a very winnable game, man. It was very close at the beginning. The yardage was close, like everything. Yep. It seemed like the stars were aligning, but you know, once they didn't kick that field goal and Troy scored that touchdown before the half, and FAMU got a field goal to get the 9 points that they been had, you know, that just kind of changed the whole trajectory of it. So
my issue with the game is that, because I use this to defend Florida A&M in like the first two games, we saw the issues that they had originally: defensive line, penalties, self-inflicted penalties, and the inability to score in the red zone. That has not changed going into week 3.
It's been a month since you had scored a touchdown, by the way.
We have in total, just with points on the board,
a month.
We have had 7 trips to the red zone with no touchdowns. And that's just on field goals scored. So there's at least 3 to 4 other drives where we came away empty-handed because either we missed a field goal, we had a penalty, or we got pushed out of range. So I'm not seeing the growth on that side of the ball. I think defensively, we held strong in the first half. Second half, again, those points started adding up. And when you get behind and body language gets down, momentum of the game switches, and they took it from there. But
on top of that, the rushing game is irrelevant. We look like Florida State.
That's what I was about to talk about.
We look like Florida State, 55 rushing yards in a game.
And I also,
terrible.
Like, I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to talk about Mr. Preseason All-Swag, Mr. Kelvin Dean Jr., who had
10 carries for 20 yards.
119 yards on the season.
Yeah.
So no far. Touchdown.
I mean, he had one that got called back against Troy, but
my thing is, if we're going to win the SWAC, we wanted, don't get me wrong, a big part of our game was play action.
Yeah.
So we had a running game.
But
we
can't
had
set up some, a play action.
You can't set up a play action without no run game. So in order for us to win the SWAC, we are going to have to form some type of run game, whether it's a quick pass, draws, quarterback sneak, something.
But the thing is that we are, because I mean, we're becoming almost one-dimensional. You can call out these rollouts that Richardson's doing, these little 10 5-yard routes, but eventually people are going to start scheming to that. They know that they can't run the ball. And I asked, you know, Richardson earlier in the season, I was like, all right, well, are they going to get you involved in the run game? We haven't yet to see quarterback counter, quarterback draw, just to get him involved himself, because he's a threat with his legs.
I'm going to be real. They got to figure out that offense, especially that rushing game.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know if y'all remember the 2022 season very fondly, but it was, the offense was similar. They didn't have a rushing game. I believe they were last in the SWAC. I mean, they still won 9 games, but they got to get that together because, I mean, their next 2 games, Alabama State, they're number 8 in FCS defense. Jackson State, they're number 14 in FCS defense.
Alabama State always poses us some pretty big problems.
Definitely.
Especially when we play at Alabama State. Shout out to us. We will be at that game.
Yeah,
sir. Ski.
And then also, too, with the Alabama State game coming up, but it's like, even last year, we really didn't have a running game. So it's like we had like a glimpse of a running game, but we never really had a running game. But when you go back to Mike's point, Jalen's point, when he said the red zone trips, it's been a major issue. Like, even against South Carolina State, even against Norfolk State, like, the games shouldn't be close, but we just can't finish
it. So many points on the board.
So many points. And in a turnover game, we're not winning the turnover margin.
Nope, no turnovers.
And we can't stop the run. And let's the run defense is.
We're out here looking like LSU, man.
Nah, we ain't looking like LSU.
Can't stop a cold.
Hey, listen, we look like the Dallas Cowboys run defense right now. The way them hoes opening up, it comes to the point, am I scared of the SWAC? A little bit, because we're falling into play of stuff that we can't defend and what the SWAC actually does.
I don't think it's us being afraid of the SWAC. I think it's us coming back to reality.
Reality check.
Last year, Simmons did great in the transfer portal. We had a team where everyone pretty much know, okay, fam, you against everybody else.
Right.
So we were like our own worst enemy last year. So now this year, we have to have almost a near perfect game to make sure, like, we win these.
I wouldn't say perfect. Complete.
I feel like we're on an even playing field with a lot of these.
But truthfully, I feel like even last year, fam, you rarely play complete games. They'll jump out of the lead and let them come back. But this team is not last year's team. That was a one of a kind. Those 2021, 2022, 2023 teams, those are one of a kind type of teams. But this is not that type of team. It's still a good team.
But it's more
level now.
And I've also been saying this for all summer, really. And I feel bad for Cozy, because if he loses, he's going to be looked at, okay, you have Simmons players, why are you not able to win? Simmons was able to win.
But do he really have Simmons players, though? Everybody transferred out.
Not everybody.
If you seen that spring game, and I was one that had to go to all the practices, dude, the team was so thin because people was transferring out in the middle of the spring, you know, all that type of stuff. So I was asking Cozy, I'm like, hey, like, what you going to do about this? And he was like, well, we gonna find a place to replace.
All right, this one thing.
Last point.
And then it comes, like what I was talking about with the AD, man. It's like, okay, worst come to worst. All right, let's say we go out next week, we play Alabama State, we lose, right? What? Is he in, like, the hot seat now?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, this is his first year. There's going to be growing pains. I'm sure you've had several conversations about Willie when he first started coaching. They were not good.
When Willie got his fam, you was number one in the MEAC all the way to the end of the season, went on like a 3-game losing streak. Season over. And lost the Classic.
And they lost the Classic. And I was actually, that was my freshman year when they lost the Classic. And that was when Ryan Stanley was their quarterback, bro. They got blown out. out.
Hey, so I got a question, right? So I don't think Cozy's gonna be on a high seat if we lose to Alabama State. I think he's gonna be on a questionable seat.
Let me clarify. My whole point in like bringing that up was for me to say like, okay, like what was really his true ceiling when this is his first time with his own players? Like, that's why I brought up Willie's first season, because it wasn't necessarily the best. They won some games, but at the same time, you have growing pains.
I got a question.
A lot of us did say like 9-3, 10-2.
Are y'all scared of Alabama State?
I am, because the fact that we're going to Alabama State and it's home.
They're playing with a third string quarterback.
Oh, he got injured.
Body is out for the season, and the other dude, I forget his name, from Eastern Illinois.
Yeah,
I heard he got hurt and left the team. They playing with a third string quarterback.
What I will say though is that we're going into this game one after a long break, and then two after a loss on top of that.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, I think this break is actually coming at a perfectly good time though.
I disagree.
I don't
know.
The bye week was perfect for
us.
This one coming off of a loss is gonna hurt.
All right. We was playing against Troy. We all had us losing that game. Besides Jeff.
I mean, I don't know. I know you watched the North Carolina Central game closely.
Right.
Jeff. Yeah. But they didn't look bad.
Who?
Like Alabama State.
They did look bad. Their thing was when they first had the quarterback in the game, number four, I can't really think of his name right now. They looked terrible. He threw like three interceptions at the time.
He threw two.
Two, my bad. And then once they changed the style and they started running the ball, when the game actually changed up for him. If you take away
and
that
what
pick,
is our Achilles heel?
Running the ball.
Exactly. That's why.
Hey, I mean,
they ain't got that running quarterback no more. He's out for the season.
Real. That's real.
All right, fellas, let's go across the tracks and recap the FSU versus Cal game. You know, I was at this game and I got a lot of opinions about this game, but we'll start off with Jeff.
Finally, a win. Round of applause for Florida State, man. Round of applause.
Finally a win.
A
win is a win.
Yes.
DJ looked questionable, but when he was comfortable certain possessions during the game, he showed up. I mean, he looked comfortable at points.
Really?
At points, when he was comfortable, he did show up.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he looked poised. He went through his progressions very well.
But some throws and decisions he made were questionable too. I'm not saying everything was just flawless. He looked good.
But this is the best game I've seen him play this season, though.
That's not saying too much either.
Right. It's not.
Because it's the best game he played all season. They only scored 14 points.
Right.
Yeah, and that's alarming. That 14 points.
I would say one thing that a lot of us is not giving credit to is the Florida State defense.
Yes.
Because these games could get out of hand so badly, but it's like...
They had 100-plus rushing yards each game before this one.
I'm not giving them credit for that.
Bro, they at least they're keeping the game close.
I'm talking about this game specifically.
Not giving them credit.
If this game,
no, I'll give them credit for a win, like, about time.
If this game was played on the road, I think they would have probably lost it, because the crowd played a big factor, and also having Jordan Travis, he was at the game as well. You know, obviously, the crowd feeds into that. The fans love
him. Oh, handicap J.
So it's like, I think that really played a big role into it.
I'm not going to lie. Florida State's defense recorded 7 sacks on Cal.
Yeah.
So they honestly, it was a losable game for Florida State, because you only scored 14 points. They should have lost. But again, we got to give them credit, because they ended up pulling it out at the end.
Look.
Go Florida State fan.
First of all, I'm going to be as unbiased as I can.
Go
ahead. I mean, it's about time.
I can't be biased. But what I will say is, I'll first say that was the most sloppiest game I've ever watched in my entire life.
So you don't think that Boston College game was sloppy?
I mean, that was pretty sloppy. But like, bro, the game was literally like 6-7 for like most of the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was field goals mostly. Both teams were playing trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like
bad game on both ends.
Cal going into that team was like 3-0, and they were favored to win by like 2.5 points. So
I don't know. I feel like they were favored to win because they beat a bad Auburn team. Like, they really haven't proved anything to me.
Yeah, but I think Auburn is still Auburn. Like, their offense is not bad.
Ooh, Auburn is terrible.
Auburn is Auburn, but that's not as good. That's not a good thing to
say. Cam Coleman finna be at T-Town next semester.
What I'll say is a win against an SEC team that just can't go under.
Hey, listen, we're gonna stop acting like every SEC team is just these powerhouses. houses. Cause our,
that's not what I said.
No, I know that's not what you said, but it's like using that term. You talking about if they had beat Alabama, we could have been like, oh, okay, they got something going up. They beat up on Auburn. Like, Auburn doesn't even have a quarterback right now.
I get that.
Yeah, they got Jalen that quarterback right now.
I think that's kind of like what separates college and the NFL, because in the NFL you can talk about like what team had, what the team didn't have, but at the end of the day, a win's a win. You're not penalized for the quality of your win, you know what I mean? But anyways, like I was saying, the game was very sloppy for a majority of the game. No, this game taught me three things. One, DJ is somewhat of a competent quarterback, you know what I mean?
I don't know about that.
Was some throws that he made down the field. I'm like, okay, like this is what I've been waiting to see. And then as opposed to the young defense as well, they show some flashes. Like, they're young. Majority of that defensive line, majority of that linebacking core and that secondary, they're all sophomores. They're not even 21 years old yet.
Top five transfer recruiting class, by the way.
So, again, like, you know, that game didn't show me that our defense is like that or whatever, but it showed me that there's flashes in the next coming years they're going to be a force to reckon with, you know? The third thing that this game taught me is that when you have teams that use the portal so heavily, like Florida State, you're going to have some times where they're so great. And I'll say this because, like, this is probably me being as unbiased as possible. I'll go back to the last season, our 2023 season. All our transfers, it just clicked. It was working. Like, we were flowing on all cylinders. But then you have some seasons with some teams where it's like, dang, like, they don't truly have an identity. And this team this year, they just do not have an identity right now.
I'll combat that and say with the transfer portal, first of all. Last year when y'all got a couple of good players out of the transfer portal, it was a few good players that y'all can plug and play, and it worked. Y'all didn't almost exclusively go to the transfer portal. Y'all already had a quarterback. Y'all already had a good running game. The defense was already there. So y'all got a couple of big pieces, Keon Coleman, Jaheim Bell. And a couple of more pieces on the defensive side of the ball and plugged in. So it kind of worked. This year, y'all almost exclusively got to a lot of people from the portal.
You got a lot of talented players.
Don't get me wrong. I think if you can transfer and recruit in the portal, you can recruit. But Norvell has not proven to me he can recruit out of high school well at all.
And that's what I was just about to combat with you on that. Yes. No. What Tristan is saying is absolutely correct.
Out of high school, y'all have not even had a top 15.
I'll take that back.
But definitely top 10 this past year.
But here's the thing. He's not recruiting the type of players that he needs. He's just recruiting players.
You know, recruiting rankings also include transfer rankings
as well. But if we talk about what Tristan is talking about, like, look at what Alabama's doing. Alabama isn't getting a whole entire team from the transfer portal. They're getting, we just lost a receiver. We could get a plug-in player right now, but we still got Ryan Williams coming in at the end of the day. Or when you got, like, Texas, who already got, like, a good team, they just putting plug-in play players. Like, if you look at what Florida State did, like he said last year, they just got one or two players that could help fill that gap that they losing. Y'all got an entire team from the transfer portal.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Y'all got the whole entire Alabama from the transfer portal, to be honest.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with what you or Tristan are saying. Y'all both have, like, valid points. I think my main thing, and that was, like, my last thing that I learned from this game, to wrap it up, I think that some teams are capable of doing just that, like recruiting well and plugging in those players in the right way. Last year was a particular year where we did that right. This year was a year that we just did not do that right, hence everything you guys said.
I'll also say these next 4 weeks, we know y'all going 0-2-2 of these games, but SMU is that's a win.
That's not an easy win. I don't care who they just played. They just put up 66 points.
SMU has a great running game for one. They have a great offense. That don't go in there thinking they're just going to run over SMU, because they're not, especially with the struggles they have on the defensive side of the ball stopping the run. SMU is definitely going to have a game plan for Florida State, and they have to go to SMU. Dallas. So that's not going to be a walk in the park. They're on upset. I wouldn't even say upset at this point. They can possibly lose this game. It's very possible. They're going to lose to Clemson. They're going to lose to Miami.
Clemson looked good, man.
He did. They're going to lose to Miami. We might as well just go ahead and chalk that up as a loss. And the Duke game is questionable. I don't know.
Duke playing pretty good right now.
They are, but I had to see it.
All right, fellas, let's go into more college football. Now, I have a question for you all. Are the Hurricanes a college football contending team as it stands right now?
Like a playoff contending team or a championship contending team?
A championship.
Yeah. I think, great. Because the way you win championships in today's college football is the trenches. Play.
And you got to have a good
Quarterback too, but we've also seen teams with mid quarterback play win. J.J. McCarthy.
I will say, though, that you were talking about trench play for Miami. One of the things that they need to clean up going into longer in the season is their offensive line protection. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of teams, including Florida A&M, have been able to get to Cam Ward. Now, Cam Ward is a special kind of
quarterback.
Wait, time out.
About that, to Cam Ward, bro. Cam Ward holds the ball fairly.
No, that is very true.
Like, he's trying to make the Super Bowl, but oftentimes
he does, though. So, I mean, he can get away with it if he can get the ball to Restrepo at 15 yards down the field, turning a drag route into a touchdown. So,
But also look at who they played and their D-line play.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, Miami has a great D-line anyway.
My thing is,
that's not a problem.
Miami is who he plays for. I said, look at who Miami has played.
That's what I'm getting to.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is, I don't know. My mind is telling me yes, but my heart is telling me no because of their schedule. I feel like if they run into a hard physical team, this could be a whole different Miami team we haven't seen.
Once they get in the playoffs,
okay.
We don't know who they really are because of this cake schedule.
I think once they get to the playoffs, of course, it'll be different because you're playing somebody that can line up talent.
And that's what I'm saying. And this whole schedule, nobody lines up with them talent for talent.
They don't play. They won't play.
Other than probably Louisville.
Louisville not going to talent.
People sleep on USF. USF was a very physical and talented team.
Like I was saying, though.
Guys, that USF Miami game was a lot closer.
No, it was absolutely.
They didn't start scoring to the fourth quarter.
USF is the same thing that Bama did, but Jeff was real quiet when it happened to Miami.
You was real quiet when I talked about it.
What?
Yeah, when Jaylen, USF was playing Alabama.
No, I agreed. I was like, okay, whatever, cool. But I'm saying the same thing happened, and Jeff was quiet. He was like, oh, these 4 or 5 stars playing, y'all can barely beat USF. We were watching the Miami game together. He didn't say nothing the whole time.
Jeff was pretty kind of quiet. And Trisha kept saying, hey, Jeff, what's going on with Miami? He said, I mean, they just.
Don't be shocked if you see USF in that group of five.
No.
Like I was saying, though.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Miami is probably going to have a cakewalk schedule up until they play Louisville. But they also play Louisville at Louisville. So that's going to be a tough game. Louisville has a very good offense this year. But the defense is always going to be a problem with them. I think, for the most part, like I said, they have trench play. They have offensive, defensive line. Depending on what Clemson's looking like at the end of the season, because I'm pretty sure that's going to be the ACC championship matchup.
They got to beat Louisville.
So, wait, I think that's going to be the ACC championship matchup. It's like you keep bringing up Louisville. Who is Louisville play? They play Austin Peay and Jacksonville State and Georgia Tech.
Well, we'll get a good look at them against Notre Dame.
They play against Notre Dame this weekend, who's really not much to talk about, but
Notre Dame is still a top 25 team.
Yes, but it's like when you look at Louisville's schedule, that Miami game will be something, but they also don't play nobody.
Well, it's a high possibility they can go into the Miami game undefeated. We can't ignore that.
Right.
So, I mean, if they beat Notre Dame, that is a high-quality win.
Okay, I could take that.
Let's talk about the SEC and the big matchup coming up this weekend, Georgia versus Alabama, number two versus number four.
Ooh.
So, guys.
Weren't y'all supposed to travel to that game?
No, I'm going. I'm there.
Is it T-Town or after?
It's T-Town. I'm there.
Where is it at?
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Oh.
We don't have the funds to go.
I'm there.
No, SGA hasn't released any funds yet.
Yeah, let's not talk about SGA. Anywho.
Who do you guys have winning this game?
I'm a game time decision on that one.
UGA.
I don't know.
I got Bama.
I'm not going to lie. Unless Georgia proves otherwise, I got to go with Bama.
Jeff?
My heart is telling me UGA, but UGA didn't look good against Kentucky, and they banged up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Bama. I think Bama going to pull it out.
Country.
But I don't care what y'all say. UGA has had seasons like that where they look bad against a team like Auburn last year and Mizzou the year before that. So just Kentucky this recent year. But guess what? UGA is going to – they come out to play when it's them big games. And you know Kirby Smart loves to play in Alabama. So, and even though –
I wouldn't say he loved to play Alabama.
Even though Nick Saban ain't on the other side, but it's like they always come up to play when it's time to play against Saban.
1-5 against Bama. I wouldn't say love.
We ain't talking about that, though.
It's on you.
My heart is telling me UGA, and my mind is telling me UGA. Come on, man. I'm a Georgia boy.
That's so ugly.
Hey, listen. One thing as an SEC fan, we root for your school and whoever Alabama playing against. And
that's exactly why y'all always gonna be losers.
It don't matter.
Like I was saying,
it don't matter. We still won a national championship in this decade.
You hanging that up? You still hanging on three in this decade.
Most teams ain't even got three.
Go ahead, Tristan.
I hear people saying that it's been a lot of people talking about that Georgia-Kentucky game. I think that was Kentucky's national championship. championship.
Yeah, they played their hearts out.
Yeah, they played their hearts out for
the
game.
They should have won.
And they should have.
Yeah.
But if it's one thing I know about Georgia and Alabama, there's no team that matches up with these teams better than Georgia and Alabama.
Yep, LSU.
The, like I said, anyways, no team real, that matches up with these two teams better. I'm going to go Bama.
All right, Jay Scott, who you got?
I'm going to go Bama because Bama can't – oh, Georgia can't seem to beat Bama, but I want to get this quote out from Kirby Smart.
What? Go get the quote out, man. Get the quote out.
Why y'all rushing him in?
He said, our job is to try to prevent those plays and not give up big plays, and a lot of that starts with how well we play – starts how well we play around the quarterback, meaning Milrow. I think if they can, if Georgia can stop Alabama's explosive plays, that's what where a majority of Alabama's offenses came from.
Indeed.
This season.
They got to stop 4+2.
Exactly.
Equals six.
If they, this game could go either way, but on my mind, I'm going to go Alabama.
I like
all right,
that.
Kibi.
Come on now. Come on
that
now.
Tough. That was tough.
I got Bama. Just seeing how they played in the SEC championship last year, like Bama just got Georgia number. Like Tristan said, if there's one team that can match up with Georgia well and beat them, it's Bama.
I'm looking at Georgia schedule and I just they showed the Orange Bowl from last year. They say 63-3. I just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, all
right. See, I'm giving your team credit.
My fault.
You somehow find a way to talk trash. I'm sorry.
That's an ugly L on the schedule. Y'all ain't been right since. I ain't gonna lie.
He do got it. It's okay, Kiwi. Y'all got time.
I got Georgia winning this game, but on to our week 5 games that we're looking forward to.
I want to see SMU versus Florida State because I want to see Florida State lose again. I can't stand them. After how they acted after the playoffs, I want to see them lose every single game if possible. I can't stand y'all, bro. The worst fan base in America,
that's
easily.
So crazy.
They're not the worst fan base in America. The worst fan base in America is Auburn fans. Like, I don't even know. Like, you got to be really sad and pitiful to be an Auburn fan. Like, you're literally a walking doormat to a school that's in the same state.
Florida fans, too.
I mean, Florida has a reason why they should be fans because they actually have been winning in this decade, unlike Auburn. But
for me, it's between two teams, well, two games actually, Kentucky versus Ole Miss.
That was my game.
Because Kentucky just played their hearts out, and I want to see if they can repeat that against Ole Miss and get an upset. And the second game is Colorado versus UCF. I think that's going to be very interesting.
That is
going to be interesting. I got one. I actually got two games because I don't really think this team is as good as everybody's making them be. I don't think Penn State is really that good.
My bad.
Y'all but
take everybody game
because we just know ball.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Nah, y'all just in the booth first.
But now I got that Penn State versus Illinois game. I think Illinois is actually gonna pull this game out. Is it the Penn State white game?
No,
I think that's against Ole. I think that's against Ohio State.
Okay, I think that is. But since it's not that, I got Illinois in that game and that Georgia versus Alabama game. Besides that, we talked about that already. And I don't know why, but I feel as though hear me out. I'm about to say something actually ridiculous.
Country, if you take my next game, bro, I'm about to be pissed off.
What game?
Say it. Go ahead.
I think Oklahoma.
I was just gonna say that.
I do.
I got money on it. How much you wanna
Jackson
put on
Arnold
it?
Jackson Arnold just got benched.
No.
I don't care who got benched. I got Oklahoma. How much money you wanna put on it?
Who you got benched for?
I forgot the backup's name, but he got benched for a backup. Yeah, freshman. He's a true freshman.
Cause it's like you watching Oklahoma play, they really look bad on both sides. No, besides defense. But Oklahoma's offense is terrible. Auburn isn't good either, but it's like that's one of them games you gotta watch. And it's like Oklahoma has not had a welcome to the SEC yet. And I think they about to get a rude awakening on the road.
They just got their awakening.
Yeah, that was Tennessee.
I can't say that. They made Nico look very human. So
Nico defense, for Heisman.
That's over. You might as well hang that one up.
Strip sack about
hang that one
times,
up, buddy.
Yeah, that's
but yeah, their defense is legit. Like, very legit.
Who, Oklahoma?
Yeah. Their defense is legit.
It's their offense, but that's been Brent Venables' issue since he got to Oklahoma.
We also know who doesn't have a good offense at all, and that is Auburn. So
that is true. So that's why I said it's an interesting game. Like if you look at it right, Auburn has a good defense too. So when they played against Arkansas last week, they had what, 6 turnovers, 4 in the first half.
Where they play at?
It was at Auburn.
They finna be logo off the field.
Wait. You asking what game against Arkansas? Where was that at?
Oh, Oklahoma and
it's at Auburn.
G, what about you?
I'm gonna say the Colorado and UCF game. Mm-hmm. I know Mike. Happy about that pick. Early game. Deion returned to Florida.
UCF you know, that anyway. It's
gonna be a battle of offense.
I think it's a chance that could be a very high scoring game, and we already know about Travis Hunter and what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Whose offense can put up the most points?
I also think mm-hmm. UCF has some sleeper athletes. They got some speed that on that back? Team.
Yeah,
they
do. They're running back.
Johnny Richardson.
Yeah.
Killer.
All right, Jalen, who you got?
I'm going to go Oklahoma State, Kansas State.
That's a good game.
I think that's going to be a great game. Kansas State just got a rude awakening from BYU. So
What they do, Jeff?
I mean, the loser pretty much gets unranked. But Oklahoma State, they had to bounce back. They had their bounce back against Tulsa. They had a close win against Arkansas the game before.
That's not saying much.
They lost to Utah, so I think it's going to be an interesting game to see which team comes to play that day.
Hey, I got a question for y'all, right? So, y'all see, this is what I mean about this is a rude awakening for Oklahoma. They're finally going to go on the road in the SEC, and everybody knows going on the road in the SEC is not an easy thing to do.
Especially under Jordan Hare.
Come on,
that's
man.
The last place you want to start off first.
For your first, I'm like, why they doing this to Oklahoma and giving Texas just a cupcake? Like, hey, y'all got Mississippi State at home, so y'all good. But then it's like, I don't know. Right, I'm just saying the over under on that game is what 2.5. So I'm not gonna lie, I got Auburn in that game.
Alrighty, guys, let's go on to the NFL. Talk about the Minnesota Vikings. Are the Vikings a Super Bowl contender after going 0-3 and defeating the 49ers in week 2?
3-0.
What'd I say?
0-3, 3-0.
My fault. 3-0 after beating the 49ers 2 weeks ago and then beating the Texans.
No, they're not a Super Bowl contender.
That was a crazy. Like, why is this in the
right? What? No. What
is that crazy?
It's not crazy It's not crazy because.
Are we kidding? Are we serious?
They're not healthy right now.
The Vikings, we talking about? Who we talking
about?
I'm talking about the Vikings.
Who the Vikings quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
Oh, okay.
Sam Darnold was drafted number 3 overall for a reason.
But listen, time out.
He's younger than Joe Burrow still.
He's been on 5 different teams for a reason.
But time out, though.
No, bro.
Do you know who his offensive coordinator is? Kevin O'Connell. Do you know who his defensive coordinator is?
Brian Flores.
And you know how Brian Flores been dialing up everybody making Brock Purdy look goofy. CJ Stroud look goofy. All right, anyways. Brian Flores has been dialing up some good defensive schemes and making every quarterback he's gone against look goofy.
I mean, he went up against Daniel Jones. That don't really say much, but.
Bro.
But he went up against CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud and Brock Purdy. He limited every wide receiver threat the 49ers could think of.
All I'm saying, I just feel as though it's too early in the season for you to say Super Bowl contender.
So if they go 5-0. So if they go.
Still packed.
So if they go 5-0, y'all still not taking them serious?
No.
Like, I don't take nobody seriously until after week 8.
Sam Darnold's first in touchdowns, 5th in QBR. Like,
we're in week 4.
The kid is balling.
Like, exactly. He's a baller right now.
So is Jaden Daniels. Are the Commanders a Super Bowl team?
I'm not saying Super Bowl team, but they look like a playoff team.
Well, that's the question. Is the Super Bowl?
This question was a Super Bowl contender.
Right. For the Vikings, yes. For the Commanders, no. They look like a playoff team, though. Because the people that are calling plays on the offensive side of the ball and the defense side of the ball.
He has two of the top five quarterbacks, but coordinators you can have offensively and defensively, top five.
He has a legit top three wide receiver.
You think right now they could win the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah,
right now.
They have a great shot.
Yes.
They have a great shot.
They have a good chance of getting
bold. That's a
over
bold,
your Chiefs
bold.
Right now? I said getting there.
But
he just asked winning.
So, all right, so when you say Super Bowl contender, what do you mean by that?
You can get to the Super Bowl.
I don't think they can get to the Super Bowl.
I don't think so either.
The Eagles? James Hurts' turnover problem.
Honestly,
Cowboys?
Cowboys. Next. 49ers, we're injured.
The 49ers are injured, but also I think we just seen Brock Purdy have trouble with Brian Flores calling plays.
That is very true. I'm not gonna lie. The 49ers do not match up well with the Vikings. I'll give you that.
But that's just like us against the Arizona Cardinals. We have not beat the Arizona Cardinals in ten years.
The Lions and the Packers, those are other two teams that could contend.
Packers. I ain't considering the Packers.
The Lions.
Don't sleep on the Packers or Lions.
That's what I'm saying. Don't sleep.
No, the Lions. Yeah, the Packers. I'm not considering yet.
Okay.
All right. I think it's still too early.
Yeah.
Too
so early. So everybody's on a no train. So everybody's on a no train other than me and Mike.
It's not on a no train. It's just too early.
I still say no. Because
this is like I said, you don't really start knowing your Super Bowl contenders until week 8. When it's really starting to come down to the wire. If they go down and they like 11-1, 12-1, okay, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's
okay.
Super Bowl
country. Okay. Talking about country. They play against the Packers, the Jets. Jets and the Lions next two games. That's before week eight. If they go 3-0, are you going to consider them?
Okay.
I would, yes.
This is going to be before week eight.
Hey, look. If they have, like, convincing wins against those teams, if not, we ain't talking about no 17-16, 21-22 games. I'm talking about they beat them just the same way they beat the Houston Texans. Then I'll be like,
But they beat the Niners 17-23, though.
Bro, but that's okay. And
that's an injury. That's an injury team.
That's fine. Okay. Like, you can make the excuse that, granted, if the Niners were healthy, that wouldn't even be a question. They'd be 2-1 right now. But we can't do that. They won, so that's that. But if they go through that 3-game stretch and they go 3-0 with convincing wins, that's the key word here, convincing wins, then I'll be like, okay, they're legit. They're already, like, legit as a competent team in the NFC. But as a Super Bowl contending team, then I will then start to open my mind.
Hey, Kiki, I think the reason why everybody's saying, are they a Super Bowl contending team, is because nobody had expectations for the Vikings
to begin with.
That's typically how teams are.
Like,
you have no expectation, no pressure. You just go out there and play.
And the team starts 3-0. Everybody like, oh my! Like, just the same way with the Commanders. They start 2-1. Everybody's talking about now. It's like, oh, the Commanders might win the NFC East. It's just two games.
Yeah, let's get to it. Speaking of that, let's talk about it.
Look, I think that the Commanders, for the sake of the conversation, they can definitely win that division. And here's why: the Cowboys are in shambles right now.
Shambles is kind of a crazy word, but
are y'all not? Are y'all not? Right.
So when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, it's a fix that we can do.
No, but it's like y'all not going to do it.
I think the Commanders have a great shot, depending on if Nick Sirianni gets in the way of the Eagles. Nick Sirianni gets in the way of the Eagles, it's the Commanders.
I don't think it's more so Nick Sirianni. I just feel as though it's more so Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts holding the ball too long.
I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is an overrated quarterback. I'm not saying that, but I don't think Jalen Hurts is playing to the level that he's supposed to be playing.
He's not my top ten. I regret putting him in my top ten.
The thing with Jalen Hurts is like, bro, you talking about somebody that has all the pieces. O-line,
weapons, running back.
Bro, you have three capable receivers. Okay. You have a top three running back. You have the best offensive line. You have a defense, but for some reason, they didn't have a pass game last year. That is true. But it's like, you look at the game against the Falcons that they just had, that they lost. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Can we have the same conversation about Joe Burrow?
I said Joe Burrow's overrated.
But it's not Joe Burrow, though. Look at his stats.
It's not Joe Burrow.
Look at his stat line from this past game.
Here's the thing, right? Like, why do everybody, like, it's like certain quarterbacks get passes that other quarterbacks don't get passes for. Because if that was Dak Prescott, y'all be ready to say, oh, the Cowboys got to get rid of Dak Prescott.
I'll be the one right to the right. Joe Burrow gets praised
for going to the Super Bowl and losing more than Matt Stafford gets praised for winning the Super Bowl.
But winning the Super Bowl, Josh Allen gets praised for a game that he lost more than his actual play.
He gets praised or he gets slandered for not winning.
No, they're talking about the 13-second game.
The championship game, it wasn't even a championship game.
No, it was a divisional game.
It was a divisional game.
It was special though. He did what he was supposed to do.
Right. Was it that he did what he's supposed to do, or the Chiefs defense was having a breakdown in coverage? Because Gabe Davis came to life, and Gabe Davis has not been the same since that game.
He did what he was supposed to do.
So, would you
want to go look at the stats from that game? Go look at them. But he did what he was supposed to do. They lost that game because of that Swiss cheese defense that they played in those 13 seconds.
Yeah, that was probably the best game, other than a Patrick Mahomes game, that I've ever seen from a quarterback. All right, guys, good point. Now on to quick picks for week four of the NFL season. We'll start with Jeffrey. Jeff, Cowboys, Giants.
Cowboys.
Bengals, Panthers.
Bengals, Panthers. Mm. Bengals. I don't know why I thought of that.
Saints, Falcons.
Mm. Welcome to Atlanta, baby. I'm thinking the Falcons.
Bro, yeah, the Falcons. Y'all got to win, bro.
Jags, Texans.
Texans.
All right, Broncos, Jets.
Jets.
Vikings, Packers.
Vikings.
Steelers, Colts.
Steelers.
Rams, Bears.
Rams.
Eagles, Bucks.
Ooh. Bucks.
Patriots, Niners.
Ooh. Niners.
Commanders, Cardinals.
Commanders.
Chiefs, Chargers.
Chiefs.
Browns, Raiders.
Raiders.
Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Seahawks, Lions.
Lions.
All right, on to you, Kibi.
Hey, wait. I ain't gonna lie. We gotta keep record of this so we can see who got the best record.
I'm gonna write it down.
All right, Kibi. Giants, Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Bengals, Panthers.
Bengals.
Saints, Falcons.
I got the Falcons only because I hate the Saints more than I hate the Falcons.
Jack. Jags, Texans?
I'm going to go with the Texans. The Jags are on a sliding avalanche right now.
Broncos, Jets.
Trevor Lawrence is a bust.
That's hard for me because the Broncos just put the brakes off us. But I'm going to go Jets.
Vikings, Packers.
Vikings.
Steelers, Colts.
Steelers.
Rams, Bears.
Rams.
Eagles, Bucks.
Bucks.
Patriots, Niners.
Come on now. Stop.
Commanders.
Stop.
Commanders, Cards.
Commanders.
Chiefs, Chargers.
I like the upset. I got the Chargers.
Okay. Browns, Raiders.
I got the Raiders.
Bills, Ravens.
Bills.
Titans, Dolphins.
I got the Titans.
Seahawks, Lions.
I got the Seahawks.
RJ Scott. Cowboys, Giants.
I'm going to go Cowboys.
Saints, Falcons.
I'm going to go Falcons.
Broncos, Jets.
Jets.
Steelers and Colts.
Colts.
Bengals, Panthers.
Bengals.
Jags, Texans.
Texans.
Vikings, Packers.
Vikings.
Rams, Bears.
Give me the Bears.
Eagles, Bucks.
Bucks.
I asked you that already?
No, obvious.
Patriots, Niners.
Niners.
Commanders, Cards.
Commanders.
Chargers, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Browns, Raiders.
I actually want to go with the Browns here.
Bills, Ravens.
I'm going to go Bills.
Titans, Dolphins.
I'm going to go Dolphins.
Seahawks, Lions.
Lions.
Hey, Kiwi, just to let you know, Justin Herbert is a game time decision for Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I know, I've seen.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you wanted to change your pick because of that.
Nah.
Okay.
Cowboys and Giants.
Sadly, I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Bengals.
I don't really have much of an expectation for us this year, but my bad. Go ahead.
Bengals, Panthers.
I'm gonna go with the Bengals.
Saints, Falcons.
I'm gonna go with the Saints.
Jags, Texans.
Six.
Broncos, Jets.
Jets.
Vikings, Packers.
Packers.
Rams, Bears.
Rams.
Steelers, Colts.
Steelers.
Eagles, Bucks.
Buccaneers.
Patriots, Niners.
I'm gonna go with Niners. My bad.
Commanders, Cardinals.
Cards.
Chargers, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Seahawks, Lions.
Seahawks.
Titans, Dolphins.
Titans.
Browns, Raiders.
You said Browns, Raiders.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the Browns.
I was surprised you took the Titans over the Dolphins.
The Dolphins don't got a quarterback.
They have Will Levis, right. So it's the same difference.
It's like me and Mike going at a quarterback.
G, Cowboys, Giants.
Cowboys.
Bengals, Panthers.
Bengals.
Saints, Falcons.
ATL, Georgia. What it do for your bulldogging? Like the Georgetown Hoyas.
So hard to support y'all.
Jags, Texans.
Texans.
Vikings, Packers.
Packers.
Broncos, Jets.
Jets.
Steelers, Colts.
Steelers.
Rams, Bears.
Rams.
Eagles, Bucks.
Eagles.
Patriots, Niners.
He looking. Too, he said
I swear,
that.
I was like, he's just a hater.
You said who?
Patriots, Niners.
Oh, 49ers.
Chiefs, Chargers.
Chiefs.
Commanders, Cardinals.
I might end in the
JD
top.
JD5, man.
I'm gonna say the Commanders. I was about to call them the old name.
No, the Redskins.
Browns, Raiders.
Raiders.
Titans, Dolphins.
Who playing quarterback for the Dolphins?
Skylar Thompson. Actually, he might be out too.
Oh, that's the one that came.
He's out too?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I said. It's me versus Mike doing it out of quarterback.
Even if he wasn't out, I was
hold on, who they playing against?
Titans and Titans.
I'm gonna say the Dolphins.
Okay, Seahawks. Seahawks, Lions.
Who gonna get Tyreek the ball?
I can throw him the ball. He can go for 70 yards.
They gonna be running direct snaps.
Yeah, running Wildcat. Seahawks, Lions.
Seahawks, Lions. Lions.
Bills and Ravens.
Ravens.
Alrighty. Well, that's it, fellas. Now on to our favorite part of the show. Shoutouts. I'll start. First, gotta thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For blessing me with all the talent and capabilities that I'm able to do and stuff like that.
Talent is crazy.
One of one right here.
Yeah, true.
But, always got to thank the guys, for another great show. Got to thank my family. And, on to Jeff.
I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Y'all be safe. Shout out to Amaya Kibi. Mr. 813 back, man.
OG.
Glad he's back. Glad he's back healthy, positive spirit at his new spot, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, other than that, man, let's keep going.
But, it's your favorite host the most, the one that do the most. Favorite country Nigerian speech. But I just want to thank everybody in the building, man. I just want to keep thanking y'all for the opportunity. My man, my mentor right there, Kiwi, who gave me this first opportunity. Just got to thank him. Welcome back. And we're going to keep doing it big. Keep showing you why you gave us what we did, because we finna take over, man. J-School, the best school.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, first off, shout out to God, man. Shout out to y'all boys for having me on here. Shout out to everybody at the crib in Savannah. And wish for everybody's safety during this weather we about to get. Shout out to Amar, for coming on today, man. Flight Brothers in full effect again.
You got that all white fit ready?
Yeah, I got my all white fit still hanging up. And man, right now my favorite number is 80, but it's not because of Jerry Rice, it's because I got 80 days to graduation.
Hey! Okay then.
I like to thank God, man. Thank the guys in the studio, especially you, Mr. Kibi. Appreciate you coming back. Everybody stay safe during this hurricane. You know, make sure you got everything, batteries, chargers, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Who's still gonna be in Tallahassee?
Me.
I'm gonna thug it out.
First and foremost, shout out to God. I thank him for everything in my life. Being able to come back safe and sound in Tallahassee to see the guys, man. I'm proud of y'all boys too. Shout out to you guys. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of y'all, Jeff, G, my boy, Country.
Damn.
I'm proud of all of you. Even you too, Jalen. You're making great strides, man.
Appreciate it.
And Trim, don't think I forgot about you either, young boy. You know, I'm proud of you too, man. You know, I love seeing like the show going on like while I'm not gone. And like I've been listening to the episodes and listening live to the live show too. And I might not always say everything, like, or I might not say anything at all when I listen, but you know, I see the work y'all doing. Y'all continuing to mold, and it's even better than how it was, and that's how it should be. You know what I mean? So just keep that up. Shout out to WNL, shout out to FAMU. But yeah, that's all I got, man. Until the next time I see y'all. Peace.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WNM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.